Turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 45 is where I'd ask you to turn with me. Genesis 45, I'm not going to read the verses right away, but we'll look at some in a moment. I want to begin by simply saying that one of the characteristics that distinguishes believers from everyone else around them is that while Christians may suffer abuse or mistreatment in their life, they're able to triumph over it. Now, let me be clear about it. It's not that believers live in a state of denial of these negative experiences, but Christians have found the secret of how to move past them, how to overcome them, and not be impaired for the rest of their lives by them. So if you're a believer, God has equipped you to overcome any abuse, any mistreatment that you've suffered in your life or are suffering now. Have you been mistreated or abused by someone? If so, then this message is for you. And you know, when I think about it, other than Jesus, I can't think of anyone more mistreated and abused in their life other than Joseph. What help can you and I take away from the life of Joseph that would enable us to recover from any abuse, any mistreatment that we have suffered from? Well, that's what I would like to share with you tonight. Before we do, let's pause a moment and really look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that you have something for each one of us here, because to some degree, at one time or another, every human being suffers some type of mistreatment. And so, Lord, I pray that rather than allowing it to ruin our lives and make us bitter people, that we would rather recognize the fact that as believers, we have the secret of how to move past these abuses and overcome them and not be hobbled in our lives. Lord, we pray that tonight your Holy Spirit would enlighten and that you would use this to minister in the lives of those that will listen. And I pray that you'd be glorified in it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. One of the things that I think is vitally important when we talk about suffering abuse or mistreatment that we find in the life of Joseph, and I would turn your attention in chapter 45 to several verses, and then I'll make the point. In verse 5, when Joseph identifies himself with his brothers, to his brothers, he calls them to come near. And he says in verse 5, to his brothers who have abused him, who have mistreated him, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. I want you to see that last line. God did send me before you to preserve life. Drop down to verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house, a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Here's the first thought that I submit to you to have recovery from mistreatment in your life. Number one, recognize that there is a purpose in it. And that's what Joseph is expressing here. And while it's okay to separate company from someone who is mistreating you or abusing you, you have to see God's overall purpose in permitting that evil of mistreatment that you suffer. I want you to understand that there is never anything that is random in a believing life. That everything that happens to us, that God allows to happen to us, is sent with a purpose. And you may not see what the purpose is now, but believe that you'll see it in time when God says, now is the time. But what Joseph is expressing there is that although his brothers did abuse him and mistreat him, he tells them, you know what? You sold me as a slave, but really it wasn't you. It was God sending me ahead because God had a special purpose in my life. And that purpose was that he was going to use your abuse and your mistreatment to enable me to be a blessing to you, to your children, and to the Egyptians as well. Number one, if you want to recover, and I hope you do, you know, there's some people, they don't want to recover from the abuse that they've suffered. They'd rather bellyache about it. They'd rather let it ruin their life. They'd rather live a miserable life of bitterness because of the mistreatment that they've suffered in their lives rather than have the joy of the Lord. There is purpose. That's the first point that I want to make. But if you also want to recover from mistreatment, here's a second. Look at verse 6. Here Joseph says, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And what this tells us is that, yes, there is a famine in the land of Egypt, and in fact, it's affecting the whole region, including the land of Canaan. It's a trial, but it's temporary. And I can say that about any abuse and any mistreatment. It's a temporary thing. You have to see your mistreatment, your abuse, as something that is passing, something that is short term, something that is a transition leading to a better future that you know God has planned for you. You know, the Lord says to the children of Israel, you don't know the thoughts that I have for you. I have thoughts of a prosperous future for you, he tells them in Jeremiah chapter 29. And so the suffering and the abuse that comes into a believing life, it really is just a transition period that leads you to a better future that God has in mind for you. Believe God's truth. Believe what God reveals. And God gave hope to Joseph to press on during those 13 tremendously difficult years. From the time he was a 17-year-old to the time that he was 30, he suffered abuse and mistreatment. First from his brothers, and then from the people that he worked for, and was framed and falsely accused and all that went with that. And he was an innocent man all along. But it was that fact that it was temporary, because he had hope in his heart because he knew that God had given him a dream that one day he was going to rise. God was going to use him. The Bible says this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 that your light afflictions are but for a moment, and they work for you a far more exceeding and great weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen, the invisible. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so the second thing that you need to keep in mind if you want to recover from any abuse that you've suffered is that it's temporary. There's a future that God has planned for you. Here's a third thing. Look at verse 7 again with me, where Joseph says, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. You know what that says? That says that the mistreatment that this man suffered, the abuse that he went through, was good. It was good. In fact, in chapter 50, and you don't have to turn there, but I'll just read the verse. Chapter 50 and verse 20, he says, "But at speaking to these same men, his brothers, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." So you have to see past the abuse and the mistreatment, and you have to understand that even in that, there's good. You have to believe that God can and will bring good out of the abuse that you've suffered, out of the abusive behavior that you've endured. Because as negative as your experience may be, you must view it from the positive standpoint of God using it. And God, he's using it in different ways. For one thing, God uses mistreatment as a means in which he wants to sanctify your life as a believer. He wants to purge and purify your life through abuse. That's what happened in Joseph's life. And he wants to use it to produce spiritual fruit in your life, the fruit of the Spirit, so that you learn how to rightly respond instead of react in the flesh. You spiritually respond to even the mistreatment that you face. God wants to use it for good in developing Christian character in your life. And that's what he means when Paul says, "We know all things work together for good to them that love God," not to the lost person, but to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom God did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's sanctification. To be conformed to the image of his Son is to be made like Jesus. And that's what's good about abuse and mistreatment that we suffer. It's intended to conform you to the image of Jesus if you view it rightly. There's a fourth thing that I see here in Joseph's life that I think is a key to recovery from mistreatment. If you'll go back with me to verses 4 and 5, Joseph said to his brethren, "Come near to me." Now, if someone abused you and mistreated you like these brothers did him, would you say, "Come near to me"? He says, "Come near to me." And they came near. He said, "I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Then verse 5, "Now therefore, don't be grieved or angry with yourself." In essence, I'm not angry with you, so don't be angry with yourself. I forgive you, so forgive yourself, is what he's saying to these brothers. You sold me hither, but you have to understand, you sold me as a slave to Egypt, but at the same time, God was in it, and God was sending me before you to preserve and save your life, to deliver you. Here's the fourth thing that I believe is important. If you want to recover from, if you want to stay in your miserable condition regarding the abuse you suffered, then block your ears. Don't do anything about it. But this is the fourth thing, and that is, I see here that he forgave. In fact, in chapter 50, again, after the father Jacob dies, the brothers are afraid that Joseph is going to get even with him now because dad's gone. And they come to him very gingerly. And they first of all sent a messenger to Joseph. And they said, "You know, your dad said, he commanded before he died, he said, say to Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of your of the servants of God, of thy father. And Joseph, when he read that, when he got that message from them, it says he wept. He cried. By the way, don't look now, but go through the story of Joseph from chapter 37 to 50. You'll find that he was a very soft, tender-hearted man because he wept often. He's crying a lot. And of course, when you're going through abuse and you're going through mistreatment, it has a way of either hardening you or softening you. And in this case, it softened him because he had the right heart. But then he says in verse 18, his brethren went and they fell down before his face and they said, we are your servants, we're your slaves. And you know what Joseph said? He said, you're right. No, he said, don't be afraid. I'm not God. I'm not in the place. I'm not going to take God's place in this. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. You know what all this says? He forgave them. He forgave them. And if you want to recover from mistreatment and abuse, you, in your heart, you have to let your abuser, you have to let that person that mistreated you off the hook. You must personally choose to not hold a grudge in your heart against them any longer. In your heart, you have to set them free. Because if you don't set them free, you are in bondage and you will not be free until you let go and set them free. You want to recover from abuse? You have to forgive. You have to do something else. Go back to verse 5 in chapter 45 again. He says, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. You know what he's saying in essence? He's saying, just forget it. Just forget it. You want to recover from mistreatment? You got to forgive and also you got to forget. You say, I can't forget what happened to me. You got to let go of the past. You can't keep living in the past. You got to let go of the past. You got to stop rehashing how you've been mistreated, how you've been abused, how you've been hurt. You got to stop bringing up the past. And periodically, you got to stop complaining about it. You got to let bygones be bygones, as they say. And Paul said this. He said, I forget those things which are past, and I look forward, I press forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So it's not that you suffer amnesia. It's not that you have no recollection of the abuse that you've suffered, but it's that you make a personal choice to forgive and to forget, to stop rehashing it, to stop living in that past abuse and stop complaining about it and just be done with it. Give it to the Lord. And then there's one more thing I think that I want to key in on here tonight, because I want us all to recover from mistreatment or abuse that we've suffered in our lives. And it's found in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 45, where Joseph, he says, thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, which was the prime real estate in the land of Egypt. And thou shalt be near unto me. He wanted something to do with them. He didn't want to keep them at an arm's distance. He wanted a relationship with them. You'll be near unto me and your children and your children's children and your flocks and herds that you have, and there I will nourish you. That's what he says. There's 5 years left in this famine. I want you to come live near me, you and your household, or else you're going to come to poverty. You're going to starve to death. Again, in chapter 50, listen to this verse, chapter 50, verse 21. Now, therefore, he says to them, fear you not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them. These abusers, he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. So here's the sixth thing that I believe is part of recovery from abuse, and that is kindness. Don't seek personal revenge for the mistreatment that you've suffered. Even though these people that did it to you don't deserve it, do good to your offenders. Speak civil to them. Treat them with respect. He spake kindly to them. He comforted them. Do them good by meeting a need that they have, and if it's in your power, to bless them. It's simple what Paul said. Don't seek revenge, because the Bible says, revenge is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so there is that aspect of recovery from abuse, that you're kind. I have a young Christian friend who suffered mistreatment from someone that they dearly loved, and they were deeply hurt by it. I know of another young person that was engaged and got a call from a stranger who said that their fiance was dating another person behind their back. And when they confronted their fiance, That person finally admitted it to be true. This mistreatment broke the heart of the person that was cheated on. And that person is, I know, still struggling to recover from it. Perhaps someone's listening to this message and you've been greatly mistreated. And in your spiritual depression, you're in spiritual depression. Maybe you've tried to snap out of a bitter emotional slump or climb out of that dark mental pit that you've experienced, but you've not been successful, and you're on the verge of just giving up, or you've given up already. Now, I want you to realize that in and of yourself, you'll never be able to do any of this that I've just gone over with you. I assure you, however, there's hope, because the good news is his strength, his ability is sufficient. And if you're a believer, you can exchange all of your inability for all of his ability. Just admit that your sinful attitude and ways are wrong. Admit that to God. Ask him to give you his way of thinking about the abuse, the mistreatment. Let God transform your thinking with his word. Give Jesus your negative, bitter, broken heart. And by depending upon his promise and his power, ask him for and take from him his love, his peace, his joy to fill your heart. That's how you recover from any mistreatment.